Behold, the fields are white. It's harvest time. Say not for months, then come the harvest.
Well, that familiar theme song will remind it. It's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily gospel broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stanley Ballou of Osaka, Georgia. And now, here is Dr. Ballou in today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say to you, it's a real joy to come to your place of listening again today by means of radio. How I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege that is mine to come where you're listening with another message from the Word of God. I am so grateful and thankful to the radio stations that carry the broadcast. And of course, we're dealing with other stations trying to increase the ministry. And I do covet your prayers. You pray God would bless them, God would bless us. And together, we'll reap a harvest and have some fruit at the judgment seat of Christ. We're studying today a message I began on Tuesday morning from John chapter 4, verse number 35, where the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Lift up your eyes, look on the fields, they're white, already to harvest." And we've been looking at this verse of scripture, and we discovered these things in the two previous broadcasts. First of all, we learned that this is not a choice, it's a commandment. It's not a suggestion, but it's a direct statement from God. We are responsible, not just an opportunity, but an obligation. Lift up your eyes, look on the fields, they're white, already to harvest. And oh, as God commands us to do that. You say, "Preacher, why would the Lord say that?" You see, he wants us, first of all, to visualize the harvest. As we visualize a harvest, then we'll find that the harvest affects our heart and it affects our living. We learn from Lamentations chapter number 3, verse number 51, where the Word of God said, "Mine eyes affecteth mine heart." And I mentioned it both previous broadcasts, but let me mention it again. What Lot saw in Sodom affected his living. What Jesus saw in John chapter 6, verse 34, when he saw people as sheep feigning, having no shepherd, then the Bible said he began to teach them. He began to do something about it. And our heart will, our eyes will affect our heart. So the Lord said, "Lift up your eyes, look on the fields, they're white, already to harvest." And we spent two broadcasts dealing with visualizing the harvest. Let me just again repeat these thoughts briefly and move on to the study of the Word of God today. I said to you, first of all, as we look at the harvest, we realize the harvest is plenteous. Our Lord said in Matthew chapter 9, verse number 37, he said, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." And then we learn number two, not only the harvest is plenteous, but the harvest is precious. You see, we're dealing with men, women, boys, and girls that God loves, that Christ died for. Men, women, boys, and girls that will live eternally somewhere, either in heaven, the city of God, or either in hell. There is no purgatory. There is no in-between. There is no third place to go. You're either saved by the grace of God because you heard the gospel with repentance and faith, receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and he birthed you into the family of God, or else you're still a sinner, lost without Christ, and on the way to a Christless hell. I remind you that church membership will not get you into the city of God. You do not go to heaven because of your works, because of your wealth, because of your will, because of water baptism. No, neither because of your wisdom, but you go to hell because you've not had a personal experience of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That can only come when a sinner hears the gospel and believes the gospel and receives the Lord Jesus Christ with repentance and faith as their own personal Lord and Savior. So we saw the harvest is plenteous. We saw the harvest is precious. Then we saw the harvest is perishing. They're dying. As you listen to my voice right now, men, women, boys, and girls are being snatched out of this life. Maybe as many as 3 a second, 180 a minute. Think about that. They're dying, and the majority of them are leaving this world to lift their eyes, as did the rich man in Luke 16, in a Christless hell. It's people. It's people who will live forever somewhere that we're dealing with. So that makes not only the harvest is plenteous, but the harvest is precious. And then we saw the harvest is perishing. It's going. They're dying now. We cannot afford to wait. We must do something while we have time and opportunity. So first of all, to harvest the harvest, we must visualize the harvest. And then I want to deal with number two this morning. Not only the harvest must we visualize the harvest, but we must analyze the harvesting. I believe it's time that we as God's people were just to, if I may use the expression, stop a minute and see what we're doing. See what it's accomplishing. Ask ourselves the question, does it work? Does it glorify God? Is it the best means by which we can reach the world with the gospel? And if it's not, then we ought to change and get back to God and back to the Word of God, back to biblical principles. But if it works, then we ought to double our effort to harvest the harvest for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say this, and please, there's no scorn and there's no ill will in my voice as I say this. I appreciate anything that anybody's doing to reach a lost and dying world with the gospel of the grace of God. But most mission projects around the world today are just simply based upon some human philosophy. Man saw a need and decided he wanted to do something, and he felt like it was better to do something than do nothing, so they started doing something. And God's even chosen to bless some of these things. But the Bible lays out for us principles of reaping this harvest. And I want to deal with those principles on how we can reach the harvest. Not only do we visualize the harvest, but we must analyze our harvesting. Let's see what's needed, and then God give us wisdom to apply these truths to our lives for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say to you, my friend, if we're going to harvest this harvest, my first principle is that we must have mighty power. There's no substitute for the power of God upon the work of missions around the world. I thank God for plans and planning. I thank God for preparation and preparing. And I thank God again for all the programs that are reaching anyone with the gospel of the grace of God. But I want to tell you, my friend, the songwriter of yesteryear was so right when he said, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down. We must have the mighty power of God upon the work of missions. For the last several years, almost 14 years, I've been involved now in the ministry and administration of the Bible Institute and Bible College here at home. But I want to tell you, education is not the complete answer. Sure, it plays its part, and a very important part, but we need more than the power of education. May I say to you, we need more than the power of personalities and celebrities. We need the power of God in the work of missions today. The fact is, I'm convinced any missionary that's worth their salt that goes in their bread would tell you, I need your prayers more than I need your money. Now, I know when you realize that, you may not believe that at first, but I want to tell you, friend, it's an honest fact. You see, here's the reason why. Money will do a lot of things, but there are many things which money cannot do. But I want to tell you something today. There is absolutely nothing. Oh, may I say it? There is absolutely nothing that is impossible with our God when He moves in answer to the prayers of God's people. We need mighty power in the work of missions. Somebody has got to get a hold of God. Oh, not just the missionaries that go, and not just the pastor that supports them or the church that supports them as collectively, but individually. You need a burden, a praying burden. You need a burden that will drive you to your knees and bring you to a spirit of supplication, a spirit of intercession, a spirit of even weeping and praying, and if necessary, fasting over the needs of missions around the world. Then as I say that, I realize some might say, but preacher, how do you pray for missionaries? I don't really know how to pray for missionaries. The honest truth is, all most people know about praying for missions is God bless our missionaries. Now, I know that God knows what the word bless means. He knows who our missionaries are, the ones that we help support. But I want to tell you, God wants us to be more involved in the work of praying for missions than just God bless our missionaries. Let me see if I can give you three things on the time of the broadcast today that we need to take in consideration as we pray for missions. First of all, we're to pray for laborers to be sent. Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 9, verse number 38, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. To me, that's one of the most marvelous verses in the Word of God. You see, who is the Lord of the harvest? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the one that we pray to. You know what the Lord is saying? Pray for me. Pray for me. That's the only prayer request that I know of in the Word of God that the Lord Jesus Christ gave us to pray for himself or for anything in particular. He said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he had sent forth laborers into his harvest. You see, the Lord did not leave it up to denominational leaders, to educational leaders, to missionary work leaders, mission boards and so forth, to select missionary personnel. God held this work to his own self, and God ordained that he personally call missionaries to go to the work of missions and to surrender to the work of missions and go to the field that God called them to. So the Lord is saying, pray the Lord of the harvest that he had send forth laborers into the harvest. Well, I may not get through with these today, but let me just go a step farther with that. You know, I'm convinced that if the Lord told me to pray that he would send forth laborers into the harvest, then I ought to do so. And I'm convinced if I do pray for him to send forth laborers into the harvest, that he will hear that prayer and answer that prayer. Can you imagine coming to the judgment seat of Christ and the Lord saying to you, you remember praying for me to send forth laborers? And I'd say yes. And then the Lord said, come here, I want to introduce you to the labor I sent in answer to your prayer. And then I let him introduce you to the fruit of his labor. And together you can rejoice around the throne of God, for your praying, God hearing and answering your prayer, and what God has done. Oh, my friend, listen today. Listen today. God's prayer request is that we pray the Lord of the harvest, send forth laborers into the harvest. So we must involve ourselves. Somebody said there's a shortage of mission personnel. I'll tell you what the answer is. Pray. Pray. Get on your face before God and cry out to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into the harvest. Well, we'll continue our study, the Lord willing, on tomorrow's broadcast. Father, take the word. Use it to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
The fields are white. It's harvest time. Say not for months. Then come the
Well, I trust you've enjoyed today's broadcast. It's a real privilege for me to come here to the microphone and sit down with the Word of God and preach and share with you the truths of the precious Word of God. I am so grateful to the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege. It's mine. And then I appreciate all the radio stations that carry the broadcast. I'm so grateful to God for this opportunity. But as I make the broadcast, it always goes through my mind, I wonder who's listening by the radio. Where all is my voice being heard today? Could I ask you a favor, please? Would you take a moment today, if the broadcast is a blessing to you, and sit down and write to us? This is a new broadcast, our first week of broadcasting, and I hope that you will write to me and let me know where you're at, if you're enjoying the broadcast, and encourage our hearts with a letter. And then if the Lord would lead you to help us in a financial manner, we enclose that in the letter. But I do want to encourage you that you pray for us, that God would bless and God's will would be done. Simply address that letter today to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia. Resaca is spelled R-E-S-A-C-A. Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And we'll look forward to being with you again tomorrow at the same time, the Lord willing. God bless you. Is our prayer.